Play.
Blog Talk Radio.
Just before this honor, loyalty lives.
As I enter industry with thoughts so lucrative, I would self-destruct before I become captive. They wouldn't let me in, now I'ma take that initiative to stand firm and make my own pivot. Yeah, I knew a few people with similar thoughts like these, and together we make the illustrious DVD. We'll fight until the end. Giving up is not an option. Things will never be the same if you ain't with it. Get to walking,
don't
and I'm saying
shivers.
Keep it as a reminder. Never stay loyal. Never dishonor. Change didn't work. Must find something to keep on falling. You ain't part of the solution and you're part of the problem.
So we looking for something different, cause we done heard the calling.
The time is now, no longer can I stand any more stolen.
Understand you possess the consciousness to open closed doors. Tell yourself it's no older.
Hello, and welcome to The Race on Six Man Radio. I'm Colby. You can find me on Twitter, at Cat5Colby, and you can also join the discussion there, too. And my co-host...
Hey, I'm Rome. You can find me at Vibin Rome, V-I-B-I-N, Rome, on Twitter. I've actually been using it a lot more lately, so...
No, you haven't. I haven't seen much.
Hey, look, one a day, it's baby steps.
Boy, I tweet probably 100 a day, at least. It depends on how slow it is at work, but don't come across that.
One tweet a day will keep Kobe's nagging at me, so that's the philosophy I'm using at the moment, all right? You don't like it.
My nagging, okay. All right,
yep.
My nagging.
Yep.
Anyway, how's your week been?
It's been pretty good. Can't complain. Ready for another week.
Yeah.
Valentine's Day is this Thursday.
What?
It says Valentine's Day this Thursday.
Oh my God. What? Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's... Do you care? Because I don't... Okay, you probably do. I'm not anti-Valentine's Day, but I'm just like... it's another day. I mean...
Yep.
Whatever. Are you looking forward to it at all, by any chance, since you actually have someone?
Yeah, I'm looking
forward.
Put
you on the spot. Yeah, you got to say you do.
Yeah, you put me on the spot right there. Yeah, Valentine's Day this year. So, with that being said, we have a lot of news for you listeners out there.
Way to change the subject.
We'll be testing on various topics that's been going on last week, and, you know, some stuff you may have heard of and other stuff you may not have. So, we hope you enjoy the show.
Exactly. And, actually, this show is actually 90 minutes versus our normal 60, because we had so much to talk about, and hopefully we can kind of stay on topic somewhat. Well, you know how we do. And get to everything. Even though we have more time, that, of course, means we have more things to talk about. But we've got some really big things that we wanted to talk about. For example, the guy over on the West Coast that's shooting all the cops, the former cop killing cops. I actually read his manifesto, the thing
yeah.
he wrote and sent out to everyone. If you can find the uncensored one, and kind of skim through it throughout the show. Towards the end of it, we're going to go over that. Sounds like a class, doesn't
really?
It?
She's not telling you. It's really long. It's a fairly easy read, but it's very lengthy.
It's very interesting, though. But yeah, we're gonna talk about that later. To begin, though, we had some just kind of random news that's all over the place, but good to know. For one, the U.S. Post Office is... only going to deliver packages starting in August. So some people that affects, I guess. I don't really care. I don't get enough mail. Nobody cares about me.
Right. Anyway, yeah, they are right. No longer servicing people on the weekend. No more packages, no more mail. They'll be delivered on the weekend.
No, you aren't listening to me. They'll still be delivering packages, just not regular mail. So I guess their package services have been going up lately, which is kind of interesting. But yeah, they will still deliver packages on Saturday, just not regular mail. Oh yeah, corrected.
I'll give you this one.
Another one. If you are out looking for a job, apply to Home Depot. I guess this year they're planning on hiring about 80,000 people. So if I were you, that would be my first shot to get in. It's especially for the spring. I guess they're expecting it to be a busy spring and summer.
That's interesting. Home Depot, need a job? Go there.
Yeah, you sound so interested.
I am so very not interested in working for Home Depot. Thank you. In other news, there is a dress that goes invisible when you're excited. I like
that. Of course
that
you would say that one. Of course you would pick that one.
Yes, this dress is for females mostly, but, you know, guys, if you guys want to
put on some heels, some lipstick, and strut your stuff.
It reacts to your body temperature and your emotions, so, you know, when you get excited, the more excited you get, the more you start revealing yourself. So, it starts off clear. Well, it's like a cloudy clear, but then, you know, it eventually fades away with excitement. So.
who thought of that? Like, that's what I don't understand. I really don't, like, I couldn't imagine. What?
I said it takes the trip piece to a whole new level.
I guess. It'd be funny if it was the other way. Like, the more uncomfortable you are, the more flat it gets. But when you're actually comfortable, it's just you're naked. And then the guy would be like, I see you're getting comfortable with me.
Right, I like where this conversation is going. Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Dress. Yes, I would bring that one up. Awesome.
Men. Let's see. There was also one of the, towards the beginning of the week, and I'll probably wind up saying this every show. My weeks pretty much go from Tuesday to Monday, as far as in my head. Probably like Tuesday, Wednesday. What? What are you blabbering about now?
I'm listening intently.
Mm-hmm.
And making
Anyway, this 10-year-old kid got arrested last week for bringing a toy gun to school. Now, I've heard that, you know, you can play with guns or whatever, and as long as it's got the orange tip, you're good. You won't get in trouble or anything, or I don't know what the terminology is for it, but basically you won't be getting in trouble for brandishing a weapon or whatever. But the kid has, you know, it has a little orange tip and everything. It was a toy, but he brought the toy gun to school and got arrested, handcuffed, taken to jail for it.
How old is this kid?
10.
Wow.
So, I'm conflicted on the story, because part of me is like, all right, the kid shouldn't have brought a toy gun to school, but on the other hand, it was clearly a toy.
Yeah, but you just don't bring guns to school. I mean, there's signs posted everywhere saying no guns allowed on school property.
Like, I don't know. I mean, like, Rome, so when you were, okay, let's go with you, because you're injured. When you were in, like, that would be elementary school, right? Like, fifth grade-ish, fourth grade, something like that. I mean, would that have been that big of a deal? He got arrested, taken to jail.
I mean, you probably wouldn't have gotten arrested or taken to jail. Good suspension. That would have been maybe like, I think like a three to five day suspension. But
how do you remember that? That was a long time ago.
Because they made it such a big deal. No guns, no drugs on campus. Like, they told us this every day. So it's like, you know, and there's signs to remind you, don't bring guns to school. Now, mind you, we didn't have guns to bring, you know, actual firearms. And, you know, my parents told me never to bring, we never had, like, toy guns anyway.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I didn't, because I was the only kid until I was 12 in the house. So, I mean, but I don't know. I just feel like that's really extreme. And I feel like the stuff with Sandy Hook and all the shootings lately, I feel like that's really hyped it. I don't feel like he should have been arrested. I don't feel like it should have been that big of a deal to hit the news. I just don't.
Well,
I don't agree with that.
In light of that, I mean, I can see why they did take those extreme measures, because over on the West Coast, a 12-year-old kid made a hit list of people that he wanted to kill.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Most of those people being at the school that, you know, he went to. And he's 12, so that's only 2 years apart from, you know, the 10-year-old that got arrested. So I can see how they can justify arresting the 10-year-old if he brings a gun to school, even though it's a toy gun, but still. So,
I mean,
crazy. You know, all this gun violence going on, all this gun media blasting, you know, all these shootings that are happening on school campuses. Don't bring guns to school, go to jail. Point blank, period. How hard is it not to bring a gun to school? They make you feel like, I have my gun on me. Let me go and set that back down on the counter. No, you don't. You have to consciously make an effort to bring a gun to school.
I low-key used to bring a knife to school all the time just because I was redneck and always had one on me. Is that bad?
Right.
Like middle school, not elementary school. Just,
yeah.
Whatever.
But
I mean, it's one thing if you're not showing people. If you're like, oh, shit, that's in my bag. Okay, moving on. You know?
Yeah.
I think I did that at the airport one time, too. I felt really embarrassed that I had a knife on me. What?
I said, how are you not in jail?
Dude, I gave it to her. I was like, I forgot I had this on me. Here you go. Whoops. Actually, yeah, that's just what you got to do. Don't take me.
I generally carry a pocket knife on me, you know, for whatever reason I need. But if I know I'm going to a secure facility where they're going to inspect with the contents of my pocket, I leave that joker at home. Like, I make sure there's no way for me to get, you know, pulled aside, hey, you know, we saw this weapon on you. Or even when I'm going to wherever.
I definitely did it at the courthouse, too. Come to think of it. I forgot it was on me at the courthouse, too.
Oh, you're being ridiculous now.
No, that was legit. Because they did the little scanner thing, and I was like, damn it, here you go. Hold on to it. I'll come back for it. Thanks. Cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's also different because I'm a girl.
Yep.
So, banging
on the girl.
Sucks to be you. Anyway.
Anyway.
So, say between the two of us, jury's out on the whole 10-year-old getting arrested. Would you agree? I don't think he should have gotten arrested.
Yep. Send a message. Make an example of kids not to bring weapons to school.
Another interesting story, and I don't know how much you'll have to say on this room. It's not quite up your alley. OBGYN, dang it.
Wait for it.
I just
wait
closed
for
the
it.
Link. Basically, she made comments on Facebook about one of her clients and said that, like I said, I just closed the freaking thing. Her name is Amy Dunbar. I found it. She said something on Facebook about her client, patient, that's what they're called, patient, coming in late all the time. And honestly, this is probably some kind of snarky remark like I might make, but this is why I'm not in the medical field or any other field where this would be a big deal. Basically saying if this person continually no-shows and shows up hours late to an appointment, can I just not show up to the, or can I show up late to the induction? Talking about this woman having a baby, can I just show up late? What?
What kind of repercussions is she seeing?
She's had to, why are you putting me on the spot? I don't remember.
It's your topic.
That's not the point, dude. Like,
you would do the same for me, I would hope.
Right. I think she had to apologize. Some people are calling for her to be fired.
Oh, gosh. Cry me a river. Go to bridge. The
hospital wrote on Facebook, our physician leadership has already called Dr. Dunbar. Her comments were definitely inappropriate. I don't think they were that bad. It's her personal Facebook. Anyway, we were also reviewing them to determine if they violated privacy issues, et cetera. That process requires more than a thorough review, but we will determine the appropriate response as quickly as possible. In the meantime, know that our physician organization holds its members to the highest standards and strives to improve our service and clinical care through that process. Blah, blah, blah. Okay.
Yeah,
I think it was fine. Her words, exactly. So I have a patient who has chosen to either no-show or be late, sometimes hours, for all of her prenatal visits, ultrasounds, and NSTs. I don't know what an NST is, but whatever. She is now 3 hours late for her induction.
Oh, my God.
May I show up late to her delivery? Okay, so it's a little more than that.
Yeah.
Somebody said, I'm surprised they actually posted the names of everyone that commented, too. I'm surprised you see a patient that late. I came in 30 minutes to my gyno once, and they made me reschedule, even though I once waited 2 hours to be seen by this doctor. Somebody said, if it's elective, it'd be canceled. Somebody said, I agree, cancel the induction. And then Amy Dunbar said, here's the explanation why I've put up with it / not canceled the induction prior stillbirth. Okay, so when she said that does, I think that might be a little controversial as far as privacy issues, because even though she didn't say the woman's name, that's still
right,
like...
She described her.
What?
She described her? Or she singled her out from like a general patient?
I mean, it's not like... I don't know. I guess that's that gray area. I don't blame her for posting what she posted initially.
You know... not to put stuff on Facebook or any kind of social media in reference to your job, especially if you're in a high professional field like that. Like, come on. Like, this is nothing new. Teachers getting fired over this. Other professionals getting fired over this. Like, why are you still posting stuff that's related to your job on, you know, Facebook or Twitter or, you know, what have you?
It's a big deal. It's an outlet. It's where everybody goes to, like, bitch and moan and... to show that they're aggravated and get people to sympathize with them, and it's just
if you decide to piss them off, don't be surprised to get fired the next day about your job. That's how I feel about it. I mean, I do a relatively good job censoring the stuff that I say about my work, but you know, I could actually have a lot of interesting posts on there, but you know, I know that people are looking. To like, oh, wait, you can't say this about such and such. You can't say this about your job. This is a breach of confidentiality. You know, people are so quick to, you know, throw you under the bus, even though they're like, oh, that's some pretty interesting news. So leave stuff that's in relation to your job off of Facebook and Twitter, and you'll keep your job. Now, if you want to quit and don't want to work there anymore, by all means.
Well, aren't you nice? Yeah.
Huh?
What?
Yeah. I said, post to your heart's content if you don't mind losing your job.
I don't know. I just got to get used to this because so many things that we talk about are very controversial. And it's like, at first I'm like, yeah, this is my opinion. And then the more we talk about it, I'm like, oh, Well, I don't know what I think anymore.
Well, I just have a realistic view of it. It's like, yes, I understand you want to, you know, let off your frustration of the job and stuff. But, I mean, when you see and hear about people getting in trouble for doing just that, why would you do it? Like,
you have a realistic view of this? Is that what you just said? Do you think
did.
I missed that?
Yes, I did. Anyway, why you have pets. That's what pets are for. You could, you know, vent and unleash, or significant others if you have one of those too. But this, you unleash all that frustration of, you know, anger and all that venting out on them, and no repercussions. You got to release all your emotions and pour out your heart to, you know, whatever.
All right.
About getting fired. Can you just cut me off?
Yeah, you talk a lot.
I don't appreciate, you know what? It's fine. I'm going to be quiet the rest of the time.
No, you're not. So anyway, there's, changing the subject because someone got a little long-winded. There was a 9-year-old girl in Mexico. What's with all these kids getting in the news? This is sad. She gave birth. 9 years old.
Yeah. Sure
did. Did you say yeah?
Yeah. 9 years old is 2-18.
You know, go back to being quiet.
Never.
They reported her name to be Daphne. January 27th, she had a baby in Jalisco, Mexico. And the only reason I know how to say that is because there's a restaurant up here called El Jalisco's. Otherwise, I'd be stumbling. Anyway, the search continues for the baby daddy, who is supposedly her 17-year-old boyfriend.
Right.
Let me stop myself right there. Who the heck lets their 9-year-old date for one, date a 17-year-old for two, and who the heck lets their 17-year-old date someone that young? And furthermore, what 17-year-old is attracted to a 9-year-old?
I don't know. That's crazy. It is.
And a 17-year-old, I think if they find him, they're probably going to press charges.
Yeah, I'm assuming so.
It's
just, you got a 9-year-old girl pregnant. Like, she's not even a teenager yet. Not even in double digit age. I didn't even know 9-year-old girls were pregnant, but apparently. On the topic of baby making, though,
I'm not done. Poor little Daphne is one of 11 children, and they're all poverty-stricken 25 miles south of Guadalajara. I just wanted to say Guadalajara. You can go on now.
All right. Are you done?
Yeah, I'm good.
So like I was saying before, I was really interrupted. On the topic of baby making, the news about the Russian president hiring boys to men.
Wait, sorry, I was talking over you. What did you say?
Well, stop doing that and listen next time. On the topic of baby making, have you heard about the news of the Russian president calling on boys to men?
No.
Okay, well, let me inform you of this pretty interesting news. So the Russian president hired Boyz II Men, you know, the R&B music group, to boost the country's population. Because their music is, as he well put, baby-making music. So he wants to increase the population by having them perform there in concert and hope it will set the mood for the people there so that they can start making some babies.
That's funny.
Now, I really thought that the world was becoming overpopulated, but apparently in Russia, if you want to make some babies, everybody's thumbs up for it.
Everybody should just flood to Russia, although nobody wants to go there, but, you know.
That's too cold. I feel like vodka go there, I guess, but that's a stereotype. Well, yeah.
If
you want to make some babies, go to Russia.
Wow. On that note, let's take a music break.
All right, let's do that.
That was...
Mm-hmm. Are you going to fuck the baby?
Can you hear me?
It is working.
Okay, great. And I'm Colby. You can find me at Cat5Colby. That's K-A-T-5Colby. You can also join the discussion there. Stop laughing at me. You can also join the discussion there. I'm sorry if you hear squeaking in the background. My dog is in the studio with me tonight. And he's tearing something up. I'm not sure what. Anyway. So... Jerome, in your many, 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 many years of higher education,
I don't like doing
it. You don't have to like it. Did you know of any women, you don't have to say any names, or if you want to, go ahead, shout out the name. Did you know any girls that had sugar daddy? Like legit sugar daddies, like pay my tuition?
Yes, I know. Females that had sugar daddy.
That you know of?
Yes.
Oh, who are they?
Put them on blast on the radio, though. That's the truth.
Oh, well, we're not doing that. Okay.
No. I'm not that rude.
Oh, okay. There was a study, I don't know, there was an article last week put out talking about more NYU and Columbia female students are looking for sugar daddies to pay for tuition, because as you know, unless you've been living under a rock for several, many years, tuition is getting really, really expensive. And I guess NYU and Columbia are some of the highest in that area. So, easy way to pay for it, not be in school debt, and not have to work and kill yourself, get a sugar daddy. There's actually, what, you have something to add, Mr.
Nope.
I Know Sugar Baby?
I don't.
Okay. There is a site. It's called SeekingArrangement.com. Ladies, get a pen. SeekingArrangement.com. I'll spell that. That.
I have to get a pen, but okay.
What?
I didn't get a chance to get a pen. But.
No, you don't need it. Well, I mean, hey, go for it, whatever you're into. Anyway, it helps sugar babies, a.k.a. People wanting sugar daddies, to find wealthy older men. So it's kind of like Match.com, except it's a GiveMeYourMoney.com.
Pretty much.
Pretty legit, right?
Yeah, pretty legit.
It said if that site was seeing the fastest growth for women attending the two, which were Columbia and NYU. What?
I said, wow, I'm just baffled by this news coming out.
I'm not too surprised. I mean, Columbia is Ivy League, I believe, so that's going to make it even more expensive. Plus, it's in New York, right?
You asked me the question, do you know any girls that seek out sugar daddies?
We're not talking about me. Anyway. Or who I know. No, but it says, the website says, not all sugar babies are obligated to have sex with their generous sugar daddies.
No. Well, generally aren't always.
Right. Just like in any relationship, you can either just hang out together or escort to weddings, or not escort, like, put out,
yeah,
but, like, you know, go with people to weddings or to events or whatever, just to be that pretty little thing on his arm. And then get your tuition paid. That, honestly, if he's not, like, scummy and creepy and everything, that I could see maybe, okay, cool. But some of them actually do put out. What?
Going out? Yeah, I just need a showpiece. Creepy. Find someone your own age. Go ahead.
It is. Yeah, I can say that. But some of them do wind up putting out. So, in essence, it could be said that this is just a prostitution site. Pay my tuition and I'll put out for you.
Yeah.
I mean,
we'll see how long
I can't comment too much on that one. What?
I said, we'll see how long this site will be up until it gets shut down, because it turns into a prostitution thing.
Right, exactly. It did say, though, I mean, the North isn't the only one guilty. Georgia State is the one that saw the highest increase, 292 females in sign-ups. And,
wow.
Yeah, and actually Florida has been showing more interest lately, too. So, woohoo, East Coast and prostitution.
It's where it's at.
What?
I said the East Coast is where it's at for prostitution.
Oh, yeah.
Legal ways of doing it.
What?
I said they're just trying to find legal ways of doing it.
Exactly. Mm, whatever. Whatever. I couldn't do it, I don't think. On a different subject, college-related subject, Duke University's Kappa Sigma fraternity has been accused of racism with an Asia Prime party. There were some pictures. Alright, there were some pictures of people in, like, Asian attire, like, stereotypical Asian attire, so, like, sumo wrestling stuff, and, like, the, what are they, kimono thingies? I don't know what anything's called. And they've been posted on Twitter with the hashtag RacistRager. So, these pictures had the faces blotted out, so you couldn't see who they were, but they were just commenting that nobody in the pictures were Asian, and they were all drinking and acting dumb with Asian pretense or whatever, because that was the theme of the party, and the Asian Students Association was very upset and mad that the administration didn't do anything about it. Alright, maybe I'm just going to come out as a jerk for saying this, but I don't get what the big deal is. It's college, people are stupid, they have themed parties. If it was Hawaiian and everybody was getting drunk and dumb like people do, would Hawaii be pissed off? Like, you see what I'm saying? I don't think so.
Organization of Hawaiian migrants would be like, what? This is absurd. How dare they wear a retired thing?
I don't think so. I mean, maybe because it's a different country. I don't know. I don't agree.
Straight I think it's same as well. I mean, you have theme parties. That's the whole idea. You know, the object of a theme party is to do something or to, you know, dress up and participate in something that you're not. That's not part of your culture, maybe. You know, to experiment in something else and wear other people's attire. I mean, you have all kinds of hip-hop themed parties, you have Asian themed parties, you have Hawaiian themed parties, you have all sorts of parties. Yeah. They're just trying to get the headline. It's not.
I guess.
There's no crime committed. We chose this theme. Nobody was Asian at the party, so. I mean, unless they didn't specifically invite any Asians, I guess that can be some racist raging right there, but...
Yeah, that I could see. Just they were purposely not inviting anybody. Oh, you're Asian, you can't come. That, absolutely. That's discrimination.
Racist.
But, what?
But we want to celebrate a party and then the theme of the party is Asian? No, man. Can't even try to sell that. I'm surprised they made news.
While we're on the subject of universities, local to me, I'm in Tallahassee, FAMU, Florida Agricultural and Mechanical University. why are you laughing?
Go ahead, because I know the story.
all right. I don't know about everywhere. Well, I didn't know about everywhere. I just Googled it, and apparently it's in the Orlando Sentinel, which means it's everywhere.
Yeah. What happened here?
The press on this hazing stuff. Okay. I think it was a little over a year ago, Robert Champion was trying to join the band. I don't know if he already joined. It was part of the hazing experience to walk down a bus and basically get beat the entire way. He died from it. It's very sad. I understand, like, that really blows, but it got to that point and somebody died from hazing. Okay. Since then, off the top of my head, I can think of at least two other incidents where one was an organization. Most recently, it's a sorority. They've been either suspended or deemed inactive because of hazing incidents. Rome, why are you laughing exactly?
Because, as you know, maybe our listeners know, I recently transferred from Tallahassee to Orlando. Not transferred, really relocated. So I'm very familiar with the business that goes on, well, to a certain extent, what goes on at the FAMU campus. So that's why I'm laughing. Yes, the guy died, and that's not a laughing matter. But hazing happens. Can't stop it. It happens. It's a rite of passage, so to speak. So
yeah.
There's still no use for the thing. It happens long ago. Yes, I'm laughing about that.
I'm just frustrated because, I mean, most of my friends are at FAM, and it's just, it's bad enough. Okay, let's just call it what it is. Tallahassee can be pretty country, and there are parts that are still very racist, and with FAMU being an HBCU, historically black college or university, for those of you that didn't know.
We know what HBCU is.
I mean, some people did. I didn't for a long time.
Google
anyway. There's already some racism towards them. I mean, it's not as bad in the college areas because you've got Florida State and FAMU and a community college all within a couple miles of each other. So around the college student area, it's not bad. But once you get further out, there's actually quite a bit of racism. So with the media portraying FAMU as this hazing, thug-like, I'll say it, beat-em-up type school, it's not doing anything positive at all. It's not making, I mean, I don't think it's even making people more aware, because ever since Robert Champion, it's still fresh in our minds that hazing is bad, people can die, all of that. I just feel like they need to chill and let FAM kind of fix itself, does that make sense? Just kind of stay out of
the... They need to fix the essence. They need to stay out of the spotlight.
Exactly. And the thing is, like, the organization that got, I think they just got suspended. It was a dance organization. It got suspended not too long ago. And what happened, I guess, from what I heard, was somebody was trying to join, and they were going through the hazing. They said something to their parents or to their mama. I heard mama for some reason. And they said something to the school. After that, nobody said anything about hazing. Like, they couldn't prove it. They couldn't get anybody else to say that it happened. They couldn't do anything about it. So that organization is still very active and doing well. I feel like FAMU is in a very vulnerable state where they could be brought down. I'm trying to figure out how to say this very easily by people just wanting to mess with them, you know? Does that make sense? Because
No. Everybody's
crying hazing.
So you think they're going to shut... They're not going to shut down, like, the school or anything like that.
No. I'm saying, like, I mean, because they don't have their band now.
Yeah. How long is that suspension?
I don't know how long the band suspension is, but it's just frustrating because Florida State hazes.
Yeah, they do. Everybody hazes. It's the cycle. It's like, who's going to get the short end of the stick this year? Or however.
Exactly.
The suspension go for like 5 to 7 to 12 years. So, like, I remember when I first got there, there was a fraternity on that campus that was still on suspension for hazing. Like,
oh, I think I know which one you're talking about, and they're just coming back this year, this spring.
I mean, hazing's been something that's been plaguing FAMU since forever. I guess it's not going to go away either, considering, you know, they still do it. I mean, like you said, it's not just FAMU. Everybody, really, any university hazes, any kind of organization hazes, maybe not in the sense of beating people physically,
right.
But it's like I said before, it's a rite of passage. You know, if you're going to join this organization, they want to know that the new guy went through when you join, and like you said, yeah, and that you're in it, you know, you're going to be a part of their family, whatever organization's family, and, you know, it is what it is. People need to stop being so sensitive. Oh, well, they don't like me, so they're picking on me. Get grow up. Like, really.
Right. It's fairly equal. Of course, people are going to have favorites and least favorites. But the thing is, another part of this is a lot of times when people start getting involved, especially in Greek life, organizations too, but a lot you see it more in Greek life, I think, their family did it. So, like, fraternities, you know, a guy wants to join because his dad was in it, and his dad before that, and blah, blah, blah. And girls, because their mom was in it, and their aunts, and their, you know, sisters, and all this. So, you know what you're getting into. You know exactly what you're getting into. And you know what? If your mama and your daddy survived this, you're going to survive it too. Quit crying.
Right.
With the exception of Robert Champion, I guess.
And like you were saying, you're not the first person to experience this, so they're not treating you any different than, you know, everybody else that's already in the organization. You're not getting special treatment. The only special treatment you would get is if you didn't get hazed.
Right. I've heard, it's just, I don't know why people think that, especially around here, people are like, oh, hazing only happens at FAMU. No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
And, I mean, just because they're the ones that, I mean, one time they took it too extreme. And I'm really not trying to belittle this. I understand, like, that's personal life. That's a big deal. But I feel like we need to start moving on from it. Definitely remember him, honor him, whatever. But move on from it and give them time. What I'm trying to say is the media needs to give them time to recover and get out of their face.
Yep, because if you put them under a microscope, anything that they do, if they hiccup wrong, oh, well, look what they're doing now. All right, well, calm down.
Exactly. And I think part of it, too, is, and I got to figure out how to say this right. It's...
Uh-oh. Darn stuff.
Right. Okay, so me coming from Florida State, and like I said, I hang out at FAMU a lot. It's a totally different culture. And if you're not used to it, it can seem more blunt. If you're overly sensitive, it could seem more rude. But you just have to understand that that's how it is. And once you sit back and watch and see kind of how other people interact, then you realize it's not, they're not being mean to you. Like, this is just the way that the world is, and you've just been sheltered. I mean, is that wrong with me to say?
No, you actually hit it spot on. Round of applause.
I was afraid I was going to offend people with that, but
no.
I think I did good.
Yeah, you said it's good together. Good job.
Oh, thank you. Okay, I just remembered. There's a story that I really, really wanted to tell you about that was cracking me up last week. And
all right.
I just remembered. Okay, and I've got audio on it, so you should be really excited.
Really?
Yes, really. Okay, so this little girl, I say little girl, you better not eat my shoe. My dog's trying to eat my shoe. I'm going to beat him with it. Okay, so if you hear beating, you know, just ignore that. This little girl in Miami decided that at her, it was a drug hearing.
Oh, I know what you're saying.
Did you hear about this? She flipped off the judge. And, she flipped off the judge, and the judge called her on it and made her sentence twice of that. Yeah, he doubled her sentence and put her in jail. You want to hear the audio from it?
Yep. Please.
All right.
Good morning, Miss Soto. You're being charged with possession of Xanax and BARS. I don't know what that is. What is
bars.
That?
Xanax bars. That's how they refer to it.
Xanax bars. All right. I understand you're eligible for pretrial service.
Yes.
No
objection. She has no priors. She's being charged per pill, which is improper. It should just be one pound.
Miss Soto, are you working?
Yes.
How much money are you making a week, approximately?
Approximately about $200 a week.
Okay, and do you own any property of value, a house, a car, bank account, significant amounts of jewelry?
Yes.
What do you own?
I own a lot of jewelry, all right, okay. As well as
go ahead.
A car.
Well, how much would you say your jewelry is worth? Well, it's not a joke, you know. We are not in a club now.
Okay, but it's, you know, well, kind
you
of,
see,
you know,
we are not in a club. Be serious about it.
I'm serious about it.
Oh, you're being very. I can see you're serious, all right.
You just made me laugh. I apologize.
It's all right. How much is your jewelry worth?
It's worth a lot of money.
Like what?
Like Rick Ross.
Huh?
It's worth
Ma'am?
Money.
Have you had any kind of drugs in the last 24 hours?
Actually, no.
Actually, no?
Judge, I'll make it easy for the court, respectfully. I'll accept the appointment at this time.
No, I'm going to appoint you because you own a lot of substantial amounts of jewelry. You can go and sell your jewelry for a private attorney. What is the standard bond?
It should be...
It's going to be no PTS.
Okay, $5,000 on count one, and then the rest should be ROR.
Bye bye.
Adios.
Come back, ma'am. Come back. Come back. Give me the paper again. Count one will be 10,000.
Are you serious?
I am serious. Adios. Come back again. Come back again. Bring him back again.
What's up?
I believe I heard you saying to...
Yes, I did. I'm not going to
this. I believe you... Did you say...
Yes, sir.
Me?
Actually, I
did you say that?
Yes, sir. I did.
Oh, you did say that?
I'm not
I find you in direct criminal contempt. 30 days in the county jail.
I believe that she is represented by the public defender. I don't know if
she's not being represented by the public defender.
Okay.
So, 30 days in the public jail. Isn't that funny? She got me when she was like, yes, I have lots of jewelry. And he's like, how much? Like Rick Ross.
Like Rick Ross. Really?
Did she have to have been high on something? Please.
Like, no, thought she had some balls. That's all. You know, she thought she was, you know, hot stuff. Oh, I have a lot of jewelry, like Rick Ross. Cause I'm balls and really, chick? Come on now.
Oh my God. Oh, come back.
Come back. Can they flick them off and, you know, tell them to go? You know, wow.
Right, and some people are saying that he was too harsh. I don't think he was.
No, yeah, some discipline.
Exactly. Like, if she had had that kind of discipline to begin with, she wouldn't have been in this situation.
Right. And she thought of it all as a joke. Man, I'm gonna need you to. I am being serious as I'm laughing in your face right now.
Exactly. And she was all playing with her hair. And then when it got serious, she started acting like, you could tell when she got serious, she was like putting up her hair like she was going to fight somebody or something. I'm like, you little... a lot. Like, you're not going to do anything. You go sit in your jail cell and
right.
learn something.
Yeah.
I just thought that you might enjoy that story. That had me cracking up.
Thank you for that. This is really appreciated.
No problem. No problem. Well, let's go to another music break. I think this time, since you got mad at me for not introducing it last time, we're going to listen to Macklemore and his version of The Other Side. I actually really like this. It's taking the Red Hot Chili Peppers song, The Other Side, and he's rapping over it. I hope everyone enjoys.
Thank you.
Chad Butler, known as Pimp C, died in a Los Angeles hotel room. The L.A. County Coroner's Office ruled the rapper's death accidental and attributed to a combination of
apnea and syrup. And we know that syrup on the streets usually has codeine.
Absolutely. We have a problem now with the cough syrup epidemic.
You
rolled up, asked him what he was sipping on. I said, lean. You wanna hit a dog? That's the same stuff Weezy sipping, huh? And tons of other rappers would be spitting hard. Yep, yep, five a bone. I'm gonna pass them that styrofoam. The Easter Pink heard a rhyme before. I finally got to see what all the hype was on. And then he took a sip, sitting in the Lincoln, thinking he was pipping as he listened to the system. Little did he know that it was just as addictive as bass. Not the kind of hit from the kick drum. Hot box, let the bass bump. Take it to the face and go. Months later, the use went up. And every blunt was accompanied by the pink stuff. But goddamn, he loved that feeling. Purple rain coated in the throat. Just so healing. Medicine alleviate the sickness. Liquid to fix him. It comes with the cost. Wake up, cold sweat, scratching, itching. Trying to escape the skin that barely fit him. Gone. Get another bottle just to get a couple swallows. Headed towards the bottom. Couldn't get off it. Didn't even think he had a problem. Though he couldn't sleep without getting nauseous. Room spinning, thinking he might have sipped just a little bit too much of that cough syrup. His eyelids closed shut. Sat back in the chair clutching that cup. Girlfriend came and a couple hours later said his name shook him, but he never got up. He never got up. He never got up. We live on the cusp of death, thinking that it won't be us. It won't be us. It won't be us. It won't be us. Nah, it won't be us. Wanted to act like them. He just wanted to rap like him. Us as rappers underestimate the power and the effects that we have on these kids. Blunt past, ash in the tin, pack being pushed, harassed by the feds. The fact of it is, most people that rap like this, talking about some shit they haven't lived. Surprise. You know the drill, trapped in a box, decline record sales. Follow the formula, violence, drugs, and sex sells. So we try to sound like someone else. This is not Californication. There's no way to glorify this pavement. Syrup, Percocet, and the eighth of day will leave you broke, depressed, and emotionally vacant. Despite how little Wayne lives, it's not conducive to being creative. And I know cause he's my favorite. And I know cause I was off that same mix. Rationalize the shit that I try after I listen to Dedication. But he's an alien, I did that shit. Pass out and play PlayStation. Months later, I'm in the same place. No music made, feeling like a failure. And trust me, it's not dope to be 25 and move back to your parents' basement. I seen my people's dreams die. I seen what they can be denied. And weed's on a drug that's denial. Groundhog Day life repeat each time. I seen Oxycontin take three lives. I grew up with them, we used to cheat dimes. I seen cocaine bring out the demons inside. Cheating and lying, friendship cease, no peace in the mind. Stealing and taking anything to fix the pieces inside. Broken, hopeless, headed nowhere. Only motivation for what the dealer's supplying. That rush, that drug, that dope. Those pills, that crumb, that roach. Thinking I will never do that, not that drug. Growing up, nobody ever does. Until you're stuck, looking in the mirror like I can't believe what I've become. Swore I was gonna be someone. And growing up, everyone always does. We sell our dreams and our potential to escape through that buzz. Just keep me up, keep me up. Hollywood, here we come.
You can tend to go a little too far with some of these things that have very strong addictive qualities, pills and syrups and whatnot. So,
is it changing the music?
I can only speak for myself personally, you know what I'm saying? We have been taking down, toning down the content of certain things in the music lately. My new album, of course, probably won't have any references to cough syrup in it, but it's a little bit more than the music. I think it's going to start affecting the personal lives of a lot of artists and people.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Race on 6-Man Radio. I'm Colby. You can find me on Twitter at KHE5COLBY. You can also join in the conversation or try to get in for a shout out or anything on there. I'm pretty much checking it throughout. And my co-host, Rome.
You're my co-host. But, yeah, this is Rome. You can find me on Twitter at Vibe and Rome. I'm trying to use it more. Also, I want to let you all know that you can also call in to the radio show. You know, we do take callers. And, you know, just, you know, give your little two cents on whatever topics that we're discussing and, you know, express how you feel about the matter at hand. Well, anyway.
Show your love. Call in. You can also listen through the phone. Through the phone. And if you need that number, if you're listening, like, on the computer right now and you got to go somewhere and you want to listen still, the phone number is 646-478-3599. You can call in and just listen, or it'll ask you to press 1, and then you'll be put through to our queue, and you can actually talk to us. Because everybody wants to talk to us.
Yeah, everybody.
Now. Anyway. Okay. So, biggest news this past week. It's ongoing. If you have not heard of this, please, God, tell me where you've been, because I want to be as excluded as you are and get that far away from the world. If you don't know the name Christopher Dorner, again, let me know where you've been living.
Who's that?
He is a... What?
I said, who's that?
Go away. Just go away. No, he is a former cop for the LAPD, and he is now killing LAPD officers. He was also in the Navy. I think he had the highest clearance for intelligence for the Navy. So this dude knows what he's doing, knows how to get away from the cops, how to stay under the radar. Knows what he's doing, and he's going around. Like I said, there have been 3 officers shot and killed. I think another one was shot and survived, I believe, in California. And he's still on the loose. I think it's been 5-ish days, I believe. It's been a while that he's been at large. And actually...
There's a ransom. Not a ransom, but there is a reward of $1 million for any information that will lead to his apprehension.
Exactly, and that is actually, I've heard that that is the highest amount of money for information that's ever been offered. That's how bad they want to get him, which I understand, because it is cops trying to save cops and get the cops that's killing them. I guess there's a lot to this story.
They found his truck with 2 assault rifles abandoned. So
they're burnt out, right?
The axle was broken, so yeah. If you're not mechanic inclined, yes, the car has been burnt out. He set it on fire because the axle broke, and yeah, he left his weapons there. So.
And today they actually charged him with murder, which means when they find him, they can't arrest him.
Yeah.
Now that we've covered the basics, what makes this story, it's already interesting just from the pure fact that it's a cop killing cops, and he's got all this training, and he's still at large 5 days later. I don't know how many days it's been. I'm trying to figure that out right now.
I think it's day 5.
It is day 5? Okay.
Yeah.
He got this paper. Actually, interesting thing that I don't think a lot of people know is he sent a coin to Anderson Cooper before all of this happened. I think it was like 2 days before everything started, saying, I think it was like, I never told a lie or something like this. And this little coin that he sent him is actually something that the chief of LAPD gives out.
Wow.
Yeah. It's very pointed. It's basically... All right, let me back up a little bit. Christopher Dorner, has put out a paper. I think he did it via Facebook. before all of this started, and he basically was like, the point of this is to clear my name. What happened was, you know, a couple of years ago, I get my timeline mixed up. He got fired from
2007.
Yeah, okay. Let's see, that's why I keep you around. My co-host. he got fired from LAPD, and it was due to a situation where he was out with a female cop, and while some news sources are censoring the names, I'm going to go ahead and tell you because I'm just that awesome. What?
Go ahead. I'm listening.
Did you just tell the name? Did you just ruin everything? No, you didn't.
No, I don't put people on blast that often, so go ahead.
No, this is, you just got to find it, but this is on the internet. You just got to do some digging. Her name was Teresa Evans, that he was riding around with, I guess, and they came across a, he wasn't homeless. They came across a man who was mentally ill. He was schizophrenic. They didn't know that as they approached him, but he was sitting there talking to himself. And when they talked to him, he, I don't remember exactly what happened, but they did figure out that there's either something wrong with him or he's on some kind of drug or he's impaired somehow. He did wind up being schizophrenic. Basically, again, I don't remember exactly why, but they arrested him or they tried to get him in handcuffs. He resisted, got tased by Teresa Evans, and it was Christopher Dorner that put the handcuffs on him. According to Dorner, Teresa Evans kicked him once in the face twice. I do. I mean, yeah, whatever. Anyway, she kicked him once in the face, twice in the chest, leading to a cut on his face and, I guess, bruises on his chest. I'm not really sure. Dorner reported it after a little while. I don't think he didn't know whether or not to report it. He didn't think that he would be believed due to something that happened. Here they call it the Academy. I don't remember what he called it in the manifesto. I always feel weird saying, is that how you say it, right? Manifesto?
Yeah, that's how you say it, manifesto.
Anyway, right, so something happened back when he was in training to be a cop where there were some racial slurs thrown around and he confronted the people that were saying that. And I think he reported them and nobody, like, they didn't really get any sort of repercussion. So because he reported something once before and nothing happened and he was then kind of exiled because nobody wanted to hang out with him because he reported things, that's why he took so long to report this incident with the what was the guy's name? Christopher Gettler. That was the guy's name that they arrested that time. Okay, so he reported that, and basically there was a board meeting to see whether or not he was telling the truth. I might be getting this mixed up, but it's along the right lines. And they said that he... What?
I will correct you if you're wrong.
Wonderful. They were saying that... He was not telling the truth because nobody else would attest to it. And so from there, he was fired. Again, that was in 2007. Thank you, Rome.
You're welcome.
On February 1st, Dorner was honorably discharged from the Navy. I think that's probably what set this off because it wasn't until then. I mean, that's a long time. From 2007 to 2013, that's a long time to not do something if you want to. I have a feeling that the Navy is what kept him from going off and doing this sooner. you can tell in his manifesto that he's got a lot of respect for the government and for the Navy. It was purely LAPD that he had a problem with. When he keeps saying in his manifesto, I want to clear my name, I'm doing this to clear my name, it's basically over the incident of him getting fired, he said he's no longer got a relationship with his mother or his sister. He doesn't have a family, clearly doesn't have a job. He pretty much lost everything from that, and he's mad, and I don't blame him. I really don't. Rome, what are there any interesting parts that you found that really stood out to you? Because you read it too, right?
I read a little bit of it. It's very long. The unedited version is very long. I think you said like 25 pages front and back. Have I read online? But I was more so focused on, you know, what's going on now instead of like it sticking, you know, in the manifesto. Anyway, so now, I think it was Friday, it was either Thursday or Friday of last week, the public has reopened the case to try to investigate, you know, the terms and conditions of him being released and, you know, dishonorably discharged and all that jazz that came on. Like, they're investigating everything, and they're stating that they're not doing it, you know, for because of his actions. They're doing it, you know, just to make sure they're in the right in terms of firing him and such. So as they look for the guy, I guess he's staying in tune to, you know, the news as well to see if they will actually clear his name and that his efforts aren't going in vain. But
right. He also makes it pretty clear that he's not expecting to get out of this alive.
Right.
I don't know if that means that if they do clear his name miraculously, he's going to off himself, or if he's just not going to be taken alive, straight up. One thing I was really kind of touched to see in the manifesto, which kind of sounds crazy, but after talking about how he's not going to make it out alive, he did say that he wants his brain to be preserved for the study. Okay, let me read it to you. If possible, I want my brain preserved for science/research to study the effects of severe depression on an individual's brain. Basically, he's had CT scans, several that already that before the onset of depression that will be a good baseline. And I guess between PTSD, losing his job, all of this, he's gotten pretty severe depression. I've actually had depression a little bit within the past year. So when I read that, I was like, wow, you know, something really positive could come out of this.
Yeah, it's quite possible something. You know, I hope they just clear his name, man. I'm thinking that he was talking to the fact that him not coming out of alive, like, generally, when people commit, like, terrorist acts or things that can be viewed as terrorist acts, you know, generally the person that kills people, especially somebody that kills cops, doesn't walk away from it, you know. And
right.
The attempt to apprehend them, you know, if things are as corrupt as he says they are, you know, they're just going to probably, like, take him out back and then, you know, try to make up some, you know, story to how he died. Instead of, you know, what actually happened, you know, I think he doesn't think that he's going to see a judge or a trial or anything like that, you know, during this process, unless, you know, the proper channels are taken. You know, if he's apprehended by the right guy or, you know, by the right people, but if he's apprehended by the wrong people, they're just going to kill him, you know, I guess throw him in a ditch.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like the conspiracy about bin Laden.
Yep. So, I mean,
do you personally, I mean, you said you read some of the manifesto, do you believe that what he's telling is the truth with all the corruption in LAPD?
Very much so. I mean, it's very possible that everything he's saying is true. I mean, there's corruption and politics and, you know, things of that nature across the board. And you hear this all the time, you know, kind of putting the LAPD on blast for being racist and for being, you know, corrupt and for being, you know, this, that, and the other. So I can, it's very, very believable and plausible for what he's, you know, bringing to the light. And depending how this, the investigation is going with his, with the investigation of his, you know, his discharge, you know, you'll probably start seeing people start stepping down or resigning, you know, saying that, oh, well, I'm resigning for this issue, I'm taking a leave of absence, you know, people in high places, because he went down a laundry list of names of, you know, people that were corrupt and, you know, that he had a problem with. So I wouldn't be surprised to start seeing those guys starting to step down because of that. And you know how the media likes to blow things out of proportion. Well, in this case, it would probably be to his advantage how
right.
The media's take on everything. And once things start being validated, like his points and everything he lists in his manifesto, once those are starting to be confirmed, then yeah, you know, he's going to, what's the word for it? Brain fart. yeah, it's going to come out that things aren't, you know, as corrupt as he's telling. So.
Let me explain this before anyone jumps on me for this. I'm kind of pulling for him, to be honest. Like, I want to be... What?
I said couldn't tell.
I guess that was pretty obvious, wasn't it? I want them to definitely invite them, and journalists, researchers, whatever it has to be, detectives, I don't care. I want them to follow the story to the fullest extent they can and figure out what has been going on, because somebody doesn't, yeah, there are a lot of mental factors like depression and PTSD and feeling like you're alone in the world. Like, I get that there's a lot behind this, but it takes more than that for someone to be this angry.
Right.
I mean, I don't hope that more cops get killed. Personally, I don't trust cops. Not all of them. Honestly, I don't trust male Caucasian cops. I've just had issues with them. But I don't want anybody else to die.
Right.
I do understand that he needs to get his point across, and he's trying the only way that he knows how. And while that sounds horrible that he doesn't know a better way,
Well, maybe there's not a best way for him to get it across. So he's doing what he thinks is best.
Exactly.
Yeah,
like, I feel like he's tried.
Yeah. He's tried to go through the proper channels of, you know, bringing situations to light, and it just gets, you know, slipped under the rug. So he's like, well, if you guys won't listen to me, I'm doing it the right way. Well, I'm going to get your attention this way.
Yeah. Exactly. And, I mean, he talked about in there, you know, he's mad because the lady that kicked the, what was his name, Gettler, she's now been promoted, and all these people that were involved in the board review, they've been promoted and all that, he got let go. And he's like, there's the whistleblower, what's it called, whistleblower act rule,
yeah,
something, to keep this from happening, and it happened, and nobody's saying anything, and I'm having to now stand up for myself, and this is why, that's why it's happening, like, and
uh-huh.
It sucks, but it's just what it is. He did list off a lot of people. I feel like, obviously, before he was, started killing people, I feel like this would have been a guy that I would have gotten along with, just because he kind of calls it like he sees it.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm not going to read all of this because, like I said, it is long, and I'm not all of this section. I mean, he was talking about I'm here to change and make policy, the culture of the LAPD versus the community, and honest/good officers needs to and will change. I'm here to correct and calibrate your morale compasses to true north. In other words, this isn't a revenge thing. This is
right.
To reset it.
You got the system that you guys are, that you guys
right.
have in place.
Exactly. And he's like, he talked about almost everyone. He's like the Caucasian officers who prefer South Bureau because a use of force/deadly force is likely, and the individual you use, UOF, I'm not really sure, I think that's too much force on, will likely not report it. You're a high-value target. He's talking about all these different, like, those black officers and supervisory ranks and pay grades, the Hispanic officers who victimize their own ethnicity, the lesbian officers in supervising positions who try to prove your misandrist authority, not feminism, to degrade male officers. Talks about the Asian officers who are bystanders. Those of you that get along, go along to get along, basically, you are all high-value targets. So,
right.
From this, you know, all of, especially LAPD, they're all on high alert, you know, as they're going
yeah.
about their daily jobs, not even the ones that are searching for him. All these other guys are, and girls, they're all, like, really paranoid, which has led to officers shooting civilians, which...
Yep.
Ironically,
so,
comes back to him saying that they're going to hurt civilians.
They're putting them on protection. Like, they have pretty much everybody that he's listed in his manifesto, they're putting in, like witness protection and giving armed security for those cops and the other peoples that he mentioned. So they're taking it really serious, as they should have when he first brought it to the light.
Right.
Of course.
I liked towards the end, he did call out a lot of people. I actually saw an interview today with James Usura, I'm not really sure, who he did call out and say, you know, thanks for teaching me to fish, hunt, mud, and introducing me to PBR, and sorry, I'll never get to go on this hunt with you. Love you, bro. And he was like, well, first off, I'm not a... God, the guy just, like, made me want to hit him just listening to him. Like, first off, I'm not a, what's it called, socially, I can't think of the word, but he's like, I'm not a beer drinker, hunter, shoot guns type, you know, person, but,
right.
Yeah, that was in college, da-da-da. I'm like, dude, it's just, ugh. But anyway, he called out a lot of people, and he was like, you know, thank you for the support, and in one side of it, you know, these people were like, great, thanks for calling me out in this thing where you're telling everyone that you're going to shoot a bunch of cops. But on the other hand, like, it is touching for them to be like, all right, cool, I positively influenced this person's life.
Right.
So that is kind of cool. What I was trying
it's not
to
just
say.
Frantic rage, you know, just watching a bunch of negative feelings and emotions too, like being well-rounded and saying, you know, thank you guys, you know, thank these people for, you know, helping me, but, you know, at the same time, these other guys, you know, need to be brought to some sort of justice.
Right. But I do like at the end, like, he shows that he is human. He's not a monster. He's just pissed off. And
right.
He, I like that he talked about his opinion on women in combat. He was saying, you know, good luck. Every one of you is a pioneer. This is your civil rights. Don't quit. He talked about gay service members and basically said you can't really give a valid argument as to why gays shouldn't be eligible if every month a new state enacts a law that allows same-sex marriage.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, Charlie Sheen, you're effing awesome. Did you see? You didn't get that far, did you?
Nope, sure didn't.
He
I'm criticizing.
Yeah, it is really long, but if you get the chance, it is a great read, and it definitely puts some perspective behind it and makes you open your eyes a little bit, I think. I'm glad he put it out there. I really am. Otherwise, this would just be something that you see on TV, you know? I can't imagine being on the West Coast with all of this going on right now. They did say that I have read that some people, you know, civilians are afraid to go to work because because they drove the same car as him and they didn't want to get shot. I mean, I get that it's affecting people there, but I feel like for this big of a thing to happen, there's reason behind it. I mean, there's more than just words behind it, you know?
Right.
The only thing I'm kind of afraid of is I was thinking, you know, okay, so they think that he's going around killing all of LAPD, and he mentioned, he's like, I mean, you guys have the same, even undercover cops, you've got the license plate, like, I know how to find you, I've got all this different intel to figure out where you are and who you are and all of that. So, I mean, I get that that's scary, but my thinking was civilian copycats could be a big risk right now because everybody knows this is going on.
Yep.
And if somebody's got some sort of vendetta against cops, especially in L.A., let's just call it like it is. Now's the time.
To try to lash out that frustration and anger.
Exactly. I'm not encouraging it by any means. But,
not at all.
But, I mean, I'm kind of scared about that for them.
Well, your skill set too, Derek, that's going to come up, and you just know... You just have a sense of for what, you know, what's about to happen. You know, if things don't go the way this guy plans for them to go. So.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm definitely going to continue following this.
Of course.
This is like, I feel like this is a one-man revolt of our generation, you know? Like, this is a huge thing. And I'm surprised that we don't hear more about it. Like, I'm sure it's all over everything there.
Yeah.
But,
I guess, you know, those officials that he's called out also trying to keep it under wraps as well, just so, you know, too much information doesn't get out to the media. But media has a funny way of finding the right information. And,
exactly. And, I mean, it literally took 5 minutes of searching for me to find the uncensored one with all of the names. And I also found the, I stapled it all together. The Dorner versus LA Police Department, the court information filed October 3rd, 2011. And of course it says not to be published in the official reports.
Of course.
But it pretty much goes over everybody's testimony. It shows what everybody said about it, about the incident where he stood up for the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not hard to find. This is day and age of the internet.
Right. Everything's on it nowadays.
What did you say?
I said everything's on the internet nowadays.
Exactly. So I would encourage everyone that's listening to go ahead and research this a little bit yourself. Definitely, like I said, read the manifesto. It's long, but it's an easy read. It really is. It's that entertaining. Not entertaining. That's definitely not the right word. It's that interesting.
Yeah.
But thank you for listening. Again, my name is Colby. Find me on Twitter. Listen in next week. It's Pat5Colby, KAT5COLBY.
And this is Rome. You can find me on Twitter, that I'll be using more often, at 5 in Rome, BIBINROME. Thank you again for listening. Same time next week, 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we look forward to another show.
Yeah, we look forward to telling you about this coming week's information.
Yep.
And everyone have a good night. We are out.
Death before dishonor, loyalty lives.
As I enter an industry with thoughts so lucrative, I would self-destruct before I become captive. They wouldn't let me in, now I'ma take that initiative to stand firm and make my own pivot. Yeah, I knew a few people with similar thoughts like these, and together we make the illustrious DVD. We'll fight until the end. Giving up is not an option. Things will never be the same if you ain't with it. Get to walking,
don't
and I'm saying,
yeah,
keep it as a reminder. Never say, Lord, never dishonor. Games didn't work, must find something to keep on falling. You're part of the solution, and you're part of the problem. So we looking for something different, cause we done heard the calling. Time is now no longer, can I stand anymore stolen? Understand you possess a consciousness to open closed doors. Tell yourself it's no longer.
I'm gonna stop what I'm saying.